This is East County Magazine's Tribal Beat, bringing you news for and about our region's Native American communities. This is Leon Thompson with East County Magazine, and today it's our honor and special privilege to have the chairwoman of the Jamul Indian Village with us, Ms. Erica Pinto. Welcome.
Thank you, Leon. Good morning.
And we have with us Richard St. Jean, the general manager of the Hollywood Casino, Jamul.
Thank you, Leon. Nice to be here.
It's nice to have the two of you here. There's been so much activity out there in Jamul. Every time I drive by, springing from the earth is this Hollywood Jamul Casino. Before we begin talking about the casino, I'd like to talk to you, Chairwoman Pinto. As the first woman chairperson of Jamul Indian Village, tell us a little bit about your history.
Yes, I'm the first elected woman of the Jamul Indian Village. I've been on council since I was 21, and that was in 1996. I've been in the background of the tribal council, and I'm now the elected chairwoman, and it's a whole different ballgame to be where I'm at.
What did you start out doing?
I started out as a secretary for the tribe. The former chairman, who is my uncle, Raymond Hunter, he gave me that opportunity to come in and answer phones and file, and I did, and then I thought, I'm going to run for council. At 21, I got in council, and I've been in ever since.
Were you the youngest ever?
Yes, I was both the youngest and the first woman.
And did you grow up in the village?
I did. I grew up in the village from 75 to the early 80s.
What was that like?
It was a whole other world being there, and from coming off the reservation to, it was very poor, but we were happy, if that makes any sense.
Yes.
We had nothing, but I had my mother, my father, my brothers, and right. We were happy there.
Yes. I grew up in Cass Lake, Minnesota. We were poor, dirt floors, some of our homes. And that was the way it was in the Jamul Indian Village in the 70s and 80s.
Dirt floors, no electricity, no running water, well water. We drink well water. And so when electricity came in and the plumbing came in, we were so happy to be able to go to the bathroom indoors.
Uh-huh.
No black widows.
You were run out of your home one time by black widows?
We were run out of the outhouse by black widows. They used to like to sit in the bottom.
You went to which school there?
I went to Oak Grove Middle School, and then I went to Valhalla.
As the new tribal leader, what's your vision for any new direction in which you'd like to lead the tribe?
My vision and my hope as the leader of the tribe is to allow the tribe to become self-sufficient, economically independent, and be able to venture out into other businesses after we open 2016. And once we start generating revenue, I hope it's going to bring on a lot of opportunities for the tribe to expand our land base, to build housing, to get better health care, to allow the children and adults who want to go to school to get that education. So I hope to diversify once we start generating revenue.
The Jamul Indian Village has had a long history in East County. Can you tell us a little bit about the history?
Sure. We can trace our roots back 12,000 years. We were federally recognized in 1981. Originally there were about 23 people in the village, and now there's 53 tribal members. And we're continuing to grow, which is why this project is so important for us, and able to get better housing and better health and better education. And we're continuing to grow.
And what are you doing about reviving the Kumeyaay, Jamul Indian cultural heritage?
Well, my brother and I run a program called Acorns to Oaks. And that is a program that we get all the kids of the tribe, and we open it up to other reservations. And we programs that focus on the culture, making gourds. Gourds are what bird singers use for the cultural songs, the traditional songs. And we focus on technology. We focus on life skills. We focus on drugs and alcohol, making sure they don't go that route. So that's how we're trying to revive our culture, is through a series of classes and different programs that my brother Chris and I run.
And for the community, when the casino opens, that will open up some opportunities for employment in the area. Can you tell us something about that?
Sure. First and foremost, that will open up our employment for tribal members. And then I think we're going to have about 1,000 jobs that will, you know, be on the website. If you look right now, there's all kinds of jobs that are available and will become available once we open in mid-2016.
And our goal is obviously to hire locally first and foremost and then expand the search from there. So very committed to hiring locally, buying locally, and supporting local businesses.
What can you tell us about the traffic? Can you tell us a little bit about what's being done to mitigate that?
Yes, Penn National, the Humulian Village, Caltrans have been working very closely on the impact studies and the resulting modifications to SR Route 94. They've got a great plan. They've been terrific to work for. As a matter of fact, they had the public hearing just this Wednesday evening that was, you know, not attended by a great number of people, about 80, 85 residents from the Humulian area. Some very interested in how it may or may not impact, others, you know, more vocal about the project. But Caltrans is very excited to, you know, be near that in the end of that process to start that road work so we can get much of it done before our opening in the summer of 2016. So I think that from the site working backwards on 94 towards Rancho San Diego, you'll see some neat improvements that should help alleviate those concerns.
I saw that on your website that the road would be widened in certain places. There would be turn lanes added. There would be better signage and signals.
That's right. I think some of the bigger concerns are obviously the cross-traffic movement, so relative to left turns from the right lane, so on and so forth. So that's where, you know, they're widening, they're adding turn lanes and the lights in order to create a safer environment at the intersections, which allow for better flow for the people driving through.
Well, what are some of the exciting things we're going to see in this new Hollywood casino?
Oh, it's a very, very exciting project. And you know, JIV has been very responsive to, you know, public feedback and reducing the height of the building, you know, muted earth tones, down lighting. So although it looks like a big building from the road when it's said and done, and for those that have seen renderings, it's a beautiful exterior that really blends well with its surroundings. A great sense of arrival. It's a property that's easy to get to, closest proximity to downtown. Great flow for an 8-story subterranean parking garage that we're building simultaneously with a casino floor. But we'll feature 1,700 slots, 50 table games, so not extraordinarily large casino floor. It'll be supported by a food court that we hope to partner with local restaurateurs to bring a local flavor into our food court. Mm-hmm. We're very close to penciling a deal with a local sports celebrity, which we are very anxious to announce in the near future.
Oh.
We'll have an Asian restaurant with traditional Asian offerings. And then we'll have the Hollywood Casino, the Final Cut Steak and Seafood, ooh, which is our signature restaurant we have in many of our Hollywood properties. And then we'll have a beer garden, indoor, outdoor, mixed-use facility featuring local and international brews.
Oh, wow.
That overlook the beautiful landscape. And then we'll have an entertainment lounge on the casino level that we're very excited to start exploring local acts and featuring local groups. So it's got all the neat amenities. It's not a huge casino, so it'll be a little more intimate. We'll really focus, again, on partnering locally, hiring locally, and offering local products.
So it's going to have this Hollywood in the 60s type of glitz to it?
More the 30s.
Like the golden age of Hollywood, right?
And I welcome anyone to look up HollywoodCasino.com, and they can see it's taken on the traditional look of many of our other properties like Toledo, Columbus, our Speedway property, but it's got a little bit of a more modern touch than some of our other properties.
Well, maybe I could ask you this, since you come from a similar project in Ohio.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about your experience there working, creating a casino in Ohio?
Well, you know, those were state-run, they weren't tribal casinos.
Oh, okay.
However, being new to the state, there was your expected opposition. A lot of people were excited. It was voted by public referendum to have gaming. And we came in and we heard the positive and we heard the negative, the concerns about crime and, you know, things of that sort. When in fact, when we got there, we heard the concerns. When I left almost 3 years later to the day, I received a proclamation from the mayor of Rossford from the adjoining city for the many things we did to support his city, which we weren't necessarily housed in, such as providing money for fireworks, providing money towards their schools, helping a lot of fundraisers. People's houses would burn down. We'd immediately have our team members go to their aid and bring clothes, food. We paid for their police dog, which helped them recover confiscate lots of drugs and drug money, uh-huh, which that money flowed right back to their police department. So it was just a great story in developing a relationship where, you know, we did it because that's our culture, not because we had to do it.
Right, exactly. And back to you, Chairwoman Pinta. What is your theme that you mentioned you have?
You mean Hungry Homeless and Recovery.
Yes. Tell us about that.
We, the tribe and Penn, have reached out to a couple of nonprofit organizations, and right now we are trying to partner with them. We can't partner with them financially, but we can donate our time. A few weeks ago at the Crisis House, we helped to unload pallets of canned goods and drinks that came to the Crisis House, and we've committed to being there every fourth Tuesday. And same with the Madeline Center, St. Madeline Sophie Center, and Noah's Homes.
Yeah, Noah's Homes, being right up the street, we see a great opportunity for employment. We've met with Holly, the executive director, and we think that'll be a very natural fit because obviously those residents go out in the community, work all day, and then come home to their group living. So that seems like a very logical partnership right within Humol.
Yes.
These are all nonprofits that we feel that we can relate to.
Looking into the future seven generations, what do you hope to see for the Humol Indian Village tribal members and for the community?
I hope to see healthy tribal members. I hope that they will not have the worry that we had growing up or my parents had. I want them to be able to be self-sufficient in all they do, in their housings, in their educations. Wherever their path takes them, I want them to not worry and have any concerns of, are they going to be able to do this or go to school or wear shoes to be able to go to school? I want a worry-free tribe.
And the community?
And the community is going to benefit too. They're going to have safer roads, a nice state-of-the-art fire station and equipment.
Yeah, the one thing I'd like to add too is, as we've seen in virtually every jurisdiction, that the local businesses benefit. And when you start driving 3 million visitors a year, give or take, to a particular facilities, whether it's a mini marts, the gas stations, the car wash, the restaurants, and we've met with many of the local operators, and most are very excited and truly see the benefit of this business coming to their community, and they will, you know, their business will grow organically, and those always turn out to be a nice story, you know, in addition to the philanthropic activities and the partnerships. So I think all the way around, it's going to be a very, we'd love to be here a year post-opening telling you about the actual successes.
Well, this is our vision today. You're invited back 1 year from today. We'll put it on our calendar.
Good.
Yep. Is there anything that we haven't talked about that any of, either of you'd like to talk about or?
You know, from an employment perspective, which I think is on everybody's mind because there's still people looking for jobs, you know, we expect to hire many of our managers by, you know, third and fourth quarter of this year. And by, you know, first quarter of 16, you'll really start to see job fairs, educating, you know, people and residents about the type of jobs we offer and the skills required. And really that big employment push come Q1 of next year. So jobs are coming to Humol. We're looking for good people.
Well, I sure thank you both for being with us. I really appreciate it. And we look forward to more progress out in Humol and wish you the best of luck.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.